This morning I want to spend just a bit of time, the youth get that one, on this particular piece of scripture. I want to wrestle with it, in fact. This is an appropriate text and the wider story around it with which to wrestle, because it is the story of a wrestling match. A wrestling match, as it starts out, between men. But, as we discover by the end, it is not just between men, but between Jacob and his God. In fact, this fellow by the name of Jacob has spent most of his life wrestling. His life actually began as a wrestling match with his brother, in their mother's womb, in fact. Some of you who have born twins may know what that's all about. As the story goes, the wrestling match was right up until the moment of birth, when Jacob's brother Esau prevailed enough to come out first. But do you remember the rest of the story? How Jacob grabbed onto his brother's heel and came out second. Interesting story. Because if you know Hebrew, the language, you realize that the word for heel is Yaakov, which sounds a little bit like Jacob. It's a play on words. Jacob's name is sort of like heel. And in the story as we received it, that's kind of how he has behaved most of his life. He has been a wrestling character. He wrestled with his brother throughout his life. When they got older, his brother, who had the birthright being firstborn, maybe by just some seconds, Jacob wrestled the birthright from his brother over a bowl of stew. And later on, when their father was dying, with the aid of his mother Rebecca, Jacob wrestled a blessing from his brother and his father. That in and of itself is another story. And as you read that story, you might think of him as somewhat of a heel, because he has kind of stolen what wasn't his. And yet, through it all, there's that sense that kind of God had a little bit of a finger in it himself, as if God was holding on to Jacob's heel. Let me just finish out the story as briefly as possible so we can get it all on the table. For Jacob's older brother Esau was not too happy about losing out on the things that were rightfully his, and he was angry as all get out, to the point of wanting to wring his brother's neck. Perhaps you can understand that. Perhaps you've had a sibling you've liked to wring their neck of. And so Jacob ran away, which is what we often do when we face into things we don't like. He ran away at the direction of his mother and of his father to seek out his fortune and his wife. And perhaps you know that story. He ran into an uncle who was, it seems, almost as much of a heel as he was, because he met at the well the woman of his dreams, Rachel. And he sought to marry her and made a deal with her father, his uncle, that if he would give 7 years of his life working for his uncle, then he would be able to marry Rachel. But you know what happened then. On the night of the marriage, what happened? Laban kind of did a fast one. And instead of giving his younger daughter, Rachel, he gave his older daughter, Leah. You know the story. And how angry Jacob was at that. And he had to work 7 more years in order to be able to marry Rachel. Long story. He ended up, as we came to this point in the story, with 11 children, all but one of them from the woman who was not his favorite Rachel. Finally, she gave birth to a son by the name of Joseph, and that's a whole other story. And these two women and their slaves were contending, kind of a wrestling match of their own. There's a lot of wrestling going on in this story. And Jacob had to wrestle with his uncle for his inheritance, and he was somewhat of a heel in managing the flock such that he gained the best of the bunch, and he took off. And as we come to him at this point, he is heading home to face into the conflict that was there from the beginning, the conflict between he and his older brother. And here is the scene. Jacob realizes that he has done wrong by his brother. And he has heard, having sent messengers ahead, that his brother is headed in this direction with 400 men. And so he does what he often did in the past. He wheels and he deals, and he sends a little bit of his wealth ahead, and then a little more, and then a little more, so that he is going to be the last person to encounter his brother. And as we come to this morning's scripture, he is alone. I think it's very interesting that our brother Ed chose to talk about friendship coming out of loneliness, being alone. Now, there's a difference between being lonely and being alone. God often does some marvelous things when we are alone. I think when we are lonely, we are so focused upon our loneliness that we are not able to see possibilities. But when we are alone, things can happen because there is an openness, there is a receptivity there. At least that's the case in this story. The story which takes place beside, and I love how it says, the Jabbok River. Jacob at the Jabbok. And it's night. I don't know about you, but in the middle of the night is when my demons come out to play. In the middle of the night is when I struggle the most. When the doubts are there, the fears. It's in the night when my defenses are at their lowest. And I am probably at my point of least resistance. But here is Jacob at the Jabbok at night, encountering a man, and they wrestle. Interesting. You encounter a man in the night, and you wrestle. Isn't that what we often do with our fears? Isn't that what we often do with our doubts? Isn't that what we often do with our sins? The lesser parts of who we are. We wrestle with them. We desire to be better persons than we are. And so we wrestle. And here is Jacob wrestling because that's who he is. He is a wrestler. He is a contender. He is a striver. He is a person who grabs the heel and holds on. Perhaps like us. And this match goes on, and neither prevails. Throughout the night, the man asks his name, and he does not give it up freely. The man, as daybreak begins, says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Interesting story. And as it says, finally, he is blessed as he gives his name. And in that moment of blessing, in that moment of giving up his name, he gets a new name. And what is Jacob's new name? What is it? Israel. Do you know what Israel means, the name? It means one who wrestles with God. Israel. El being a name for God. One who wrestles with God. It's interesting because from that point on, they're not called his descendants, the children of Jacob. They are called the children of Israel. Ones who wrestle with God. The story of the Bible is a story of God's people who wrestle with God. And we are spiritual descendants of that. We are children of God. And spiritually, we are also children of Israel. And we wrestle with God. Now, I want to shift over to the New Testament passage from Colossians, where it's talking there about our lesser parts and our better parts, and the things we should seek to put to death, and the things that we should allow to rise within us. And when I think of putting to death, you know, the what it says here, you know, what the things that are earthly, sexual impurity, lust, desire, evil desire, greed, idolatry, all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. These are not things that can be flipped on and off like a light bulb. We live in an era when we can pretty much do things instantaneously. We can turn light on by the flip of a switch and we can turn it off. But that's not what putting to death here means. It means kind of wrestling. We spend our life wrestling with these things. And as we wrestle, other things come into play. The fruit of the Spirit is wrestled in to our lives. Now, at National Youth Conference, I learned a lesson in humility because I could not walk. And walking was very much a part of the experience. It was a big college campus. I had to first start using a crutch. And then, because one of my friends was one of the doctors there, and he said, "You know, really, it would heal a whole lot better if you used a wheelchair." And you know what my first response to that was? No. Guess what I did part way? Pushed around in a wheelchair. Just like Jeannie took over the driving that I should have been doing my share of, she also pushed me around a little bit. And I was pushed around by strangers. Humility. And I sincerely believe that God has a sense of humor. Because I was to lead a workshop, and I did lead a workshop twice, the same workshop, on the linkage between prayer and walking. Kind of a spirituality of walking. And the second time I led this workshop, it was from a wheelchair. I think God's got a sense of humor. I really trust in that. Just like I think God had a sense of humor in naming Jacob Israel, one who wrestles with God. I think God was smiling from ear to ear as those words were spoken. I think it's ironic that the last hymn we are going to sing is what? When We Walk with the Lord. Sometimes it's in a wheelchair. Sometimes it's with one of these. Those of you who are here, hold yours up. Okay. We'll have a race a little bit later on. Okay. When we walk with the Lord. When we wrestle with the Lord. Some interesting things happen.